Due to a family emergency, Rachel Morello-Frosch had to leave the conference early and will not be presenting her talk today. For those of you who weren't here on Monday night, Rachel Morello-Frosch won the DeMu Smith Award from the Environment section and gave a great speech about the importance of environmental justice in the work that we do. I will read her biography, so those of you who don't know about her work will get an introduction. And Kim Knowlton, the organizer of this session and the head of the Climate Change and Health Topic Committee within the Environment section, has volunteered to read her slides and with guidance from Rachel. So Rachel Morello-Frosch is Associate Professor of Environmental Science, Policy and Management in the School of Public Health at UC Berkeley. Her research examines social determinants of environmental health disparities among diverse communities in the US. A focus of her current work is on the relationship between segregation and environmental health, air pollution and perinatal health, community-based participatory research, and the intersection between climate change, economic restructuring, and community environmental health. In collaboration with academic and community colleagues, Morello-Frosch is developing screening methods for assessing the cumulative impacts of environmental and social stressors to advance decision-making and environmental justice goals in the policy and regulatory arenas.
Yes, with a lot of humility, I'm not even going to stand in Dr. Morello-Frosch's shoes, but just share with you her work because it's been so important. So her study, Minding the Climate Gap, and the climate gap from 2009 was so important, so I'll share with you her work and her slides, but it continues to really elucidate so many of the dimensions of equity and social justice that continue to be so important in California, where much of her work that of her and her collaborators was done, and continue to show us a lot of lessons for the rest of the country. So, and it will point anyone who doesn't know about the climate gap to check out that study, which is incredibly important. And Dr. Morello-Frosch has no relationships to disclose. So let's move on. I mean, her work established some indices by polluting facility in the state of California that really speak to health and equity issues. And I'm gonna share with you some of her work in her absence and refer you back to that report. Largely, her work is talking about a hidden pattern showing that people of color and the poor in the state of California, but moreover in the US, are going to suffer more from the economic and health consequences of climate change than do other Americans. That's a story that is reflected in what's happening today in California, but she's looking ahead to the tale of how climate change will exacerbate what's happening in California. This report, The Climate Gap, the cover is pictured there, was released in 2009 and discussed the impacts of climate change on various California communities and discussed that even with likely reductions in greenhouse gas emissions and even more importantly, co-pollutants like particulate matter, sulfate, volatile organic compounds that come from the same polluting facilities, that we need to ensure that efforts to mitigate and reduce greenhouse gas emissions pay attention to making those reductions where they're needed most, in vulnerable communities, in poor neighborhoods, and in communities of color. So that's some of the essence of Dr. Morello-Frosch's work. And I'll try and talk some more about the ways in which she developed the indices that the climate gap talks about. Some of the background to this is that she and the report, those of her co-authors, talks about how people of color and the poor will suffer higher mortality and health impacts because of heat waves, which Dr. English referred to already. Also, air pollution levels. The state of California, you know, has long had a tremendous air pollution set of issues, and that current pattern of exposure and attendant health inequalities could become even worse as climate change continues. There's also a spending gap in that there's a greater cost for basic necessities, which is experienced by people living in those poorer communities, communities of color, that Dr. Morello-Frosch's work has shown a light on. And those communities will also experience reduced economic opportunities with shifting job opportunities and economic dislocations. The next slide is going to picture some of the inequities in the built environment and heat island risks. This is looking, the type is a little small, but let me see here with the cursor. This is Los Angeles on the left, Sacramento, San Diego, and San Francisco. The red bars are impervious surfaces, the green are tree canopy. What we're seeing here, and these are quintiles, as there's an increase in quintiles, wait, basically, we see as there's an increase in the percentage of impervious surfaces, that is the red bars in these different towns, in these different cities of California, increasing impervious surfaces, decrease in tree cover, tree canopy, the green bars, that there is an attendant change in the people who are living there. You can see that these are across comparable neighborhood racial and ethnic minority groups. The work of Bart Ostro and Rupa Basu is also looking at heat wave impacts. And we can see in different racial and ethnic groups in California that there's been evidence of higher responses to heat waves in African Americans. Although different ethnic groups all are responding to heat waves with increased mortality, that there's a relatively higher response among African Americans. Here, there's a 4.9% increase per 10 degrees Fahrenheit increase in, per 10 degrees Fahrenheit increase in temperature. That's higher relative to the other white and Hispanic groups in California. And this is coming from a Ostro and Basu paper that looked at the whole state of California. Also in terms of community segregation across the whole U.S., as communities ranked by segregation are increasingly segregated, the more segregated communities are, the higher the risk is for everyone in terms of lifetime cancer risk, but especially for some ethnicities and groups. You can see here as ethnicity increases from low or moderate through high to extreme, as a whole, there's an increase in lifetime cancer risk, but broken out into different ethnicity groups, in some groups, it's even higher. And so there's this story of higher risks for everyone as a whole, but for some groups, even greater risks. And in California, where Dr. Marilla Frosch's work has really found its home, there's been a lot of opportunity and some challenges, of course, of late in terms of AB 32, which is California's bipartisan Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006. So California has demonstrated leadership in trying to put this greenhouse gas mitigation law into effect and to really implement that. And there are definitely clean air opportunities that are there with AB 32. It would limit large greenhouse gas emitting facilities, which tend to be in urban areas. And in California, these are, to a large extent, refineries are tremendously polluting in California. Reductions could also lead to cleaner air in the neighborhoods most plagued by pollution. And Dr. Marilla Frosch's work has looked at this in some detail in the Climate Gap study. There was an associated NRDC report, Boosting the Benefits, that looked at what AB 32 implementation by the year 2020 could mean. In that year, just one year alone, we estimated that 700 premature deaths could be avoided and $3.2 to $5 billion in associated health costs avoided by full implementation of AB 32. So there's a lot of opportunities there, but the challenges to AB 32, I'm sure a lot of you have heard about. There have been a lot of efforts to halt that law, and just a week ago, as I'm sure many of you may have heard, a proposition that would have effectively hamstrung that law was roundly defeated by 61% no to 39% yes. The effort was defeated by a really unprecedented coalition of social justice, environmental justice, some mainstream environmental groups, renewable energy entrepreneurs, some venture capitalists. Dr. Marilla Frosch feels it's important to look at this unprecedented coalition and that we can still move forward in the work of trying to implement greenhouse gas reductions and really putting the resources that can be yielded by that and directing it toward the most vulnerable communities. There have been concerns that that market approach that is reflected in AB 32 could fail to maximize opportunities for cleaner air in some of the most vulnerable communities. But those groups in the coalition will undoubtedly be at the table and demand to be at the table as implementation continues. We need to connect those dots for Californians between AB 32 and those opportunities for cleaner air. So let's get to some of the key findings from Rachel's work. If the implementation doesn't happen right and right away, we all lose. But people of color and the poor will lose the most. The connections are that both emissions and the people that are exposed to those emissions are distributed unevenly. Health impacts are driven by the concentrations of several facilities, other emission sources, but there's this long history of low-income communities of color bearing the burden of the worst air pollution. The greenhouse gas reduction policies are an opportunity to realize those health benefits, but there needs to be a targeting of where the facilities are that are located in the most health-challenged communities. Oops. Understanding the implications of those facilities, polluting facilities in California, is exemplified by this image. On the left is an ExxonMobil facility, an oil refinery in a densely populated area in Southern California around Torrance. 800,000 people live within 6 mile radius of this facility. There's lots of other polluting facilities nearby. Where's my cursor? There. From this facility versus this one, this is in around Paloma. There's about, say, 600 people that live within 6 miles of this area. There's the cursor. But both of these, each of these emits between 2.5 and 3 million tons of CO2 to the atmosphere. From a CO2 position, these are equivalent. From a particulate matter, very health damaging emission position, these are entirely different. This one emits about 352 tons of particulate matter into a densely populated neighborhood. This one emits about 49 tons. We need to look at the realities of the co-pollutants and the neighborhoods into which they're being emitted. That's a lot of the story of the climate gap, the hidden and unequal story of the people of color, the impoverished communities around the neighborhoods. We need to be that specific and look at what's happening. So the facilities in California that are involved in some of these cap and trades plannings. Many are large or dirty older power plants, petroleum refineries, cement plants. Some of the emissions of main concern are particulate matter, PM10, nitrogen oxides, and carbon dioxide, the main greenhouse gas. Some of the methods that she and her co-authors employed are to locate the facilities geographically, then link the neighborhood characteristics from the census tracts around where the facilities are, and develop a population disparity index in terms of the demographics of who is exposed within those census tracts. And then to go another step, a health impacts index was additionally developed that was used by Bailey, Diane Bailey and her co-authors in the NRDC report in 2008. And some of those findings showed that people of color and those living in poverty are disproportionately near the major greenhouse gas emitting facilities. And it's not just an income story. The disparities exist at all income levels. We see on this graphic that as incomes rise here, incomes are rising as one moves on the graph to the right, that there are fewer percentage of households of color living near the polluting facilities, or conversely, and at lower income levels, there are higher percentages of households of color living near polluting facilities. That is within 2.5 miles of the facilities. Again, this describes how Rachel's work has really come up with the pollution disparity index in some detail, all of this being detailed in the climate gap report. And the index really measures that racial disparity in terms of particulate matter emissions at the facility level. On average, people of color experience over 70% more particulate matter pollution from the high greenhouse gas emitting facilities in California. And there is the sort of graphic representation of the climate gap. All people of color, non-Hispanic white people, and the difference, the climate gap. This is in terms of those co-pollutants, the health-harming co-pollutants that are coming from the combustion, the facilities in California. Petroleum refineries account for a large share of the pollution burden faced by all people in the state of California in particular, and contribute even more to the racial disparities. It's interesting that the top 10 facilities by pollution disparity index include, well, here you can see them, but a couple of these, number 2, number 9, represent some of the interests that were among those that put a lot of efforts into supporting some of the efforts to bring down AB 32. Enough said. And here's another listing of the top 10 top 10% of facilities by health impacts index from Rachel's work. So she's managed to come up with this index that can do a ranking of facilities in terms of disparities and in terms of health impacts as well. But California still needs to commit to getting it right, and there's time to make the right decisions in terms of the implementation of greenhouse gas reductions. How to do it right? Focus those reductions from the worst offending facilities by restricting allowance allocation and trading, create trading zones, but moreover, create a climate gap neighborhood protection fund. That is to say, the revenues from emission allowance, the resources that are created from that, direct it back to the vulnerable communities that need protection. This is part of Rachel's thinking now. If facilities are in the top 10 are allowed to avoid actual emissions reductions and avoid paying an inordinate share, these are things that could, patterns of inequity could worsen and health could be harmed, basically. So we really need to move ahead to make sure that the vulnerable communities are targeted to receive the revenues and the resources that are coming out of these plans. I'm going to move quickly because my time is limited and I want the rest of the speakers to have their opportunity. And her work really speaks for itself. You would probably do best to go to the Climate Gap report and look at it. Her work is actually being expanding and being used to continuing, and the state is developing a screening method that could be one way to identify communities to benefit from those revenues for the Community Reinvestment Fund. And these are some of the metric categories for screening. The purpose of that screening would be to highlight areas of concern and opportunity for those communities that are most vulnerable. Basically, in the end, Rachel's message is, let's get it right away, and lift up the potential for added economic and health benefits in preserving California's climate law, because to get it right, we need to ensure that these benefits accrue to the overburdened communities. She really thinks that we need to continue to make sure that equity concerns are part of the mitigation conversation that continues and really needs the voices of people that are concerned like you to keep it moving forward. So with that, I am humbly thankful for you letting me speak in the awesome shoes of Dr. Rachel Morello-Frosch. So thank you.